Well, hey, Brian Phillips here with you today on the Grace Hops podcast. It's really an honor to have with me in the studio here, Darren Bailey, who became a great friend over the last couple of years as he was running for governor for the state of Illinois. And me, along with, you know, I don't know how many tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of people really believed that you'd be our next governor. Really believed it was from the Lord. And, I still believe that. So I feel like something else went wrong, not God, you know? So, and people can debate that, whatever, you know, but it's just my sentiment to you. When I first met Darren, the first time I ever saw Darren Bailey, he was, down by the Lincoln Memorial in Springfield, Illinois. And I had just finished doing some kind of speech I was asked to do at this during COVID, the opening days of COVID, when the governor was getting crazy on shutting us all down. And I just remember looking over, I got done with my talk and I was standing up there where everybody's going to talk. And I was like, Darren Bailey, I read it on your, the side of your vehicle, you know? And so I kind of, that's where I got to know you. And so how are you doing, Darren? Welcome to Grace Hops podcast. And
now I thank you for your friendship. I thank you for your support. I thank you for your work that you're doing. And you know, y'all are right. We went into November 8th into Springfield. That morning we were at two train stations in Chicago, and people were just coming up to us. We had a gentleman with us, campaigning with us, that went there every day, every Tuesday morning. He had been going there. He was a real estate developer in Chicago, and he's been running for Congress for like 12 cycles. And that's what he said. He says, Darren, I've never seen this before. People were coming. They knew who we were. We didn't have any Bailey stuff on. I voted for you. I'm going to vote for you. Thank you. God bless you. So we come to Springfield, and we just, we know victory's imminent. And that's the feel and the pulse that we got. And,
totally.
And, there's a lot of things that, went wrong, obviously. But at the end of the day, you know, we know God can do whatever he wants to do with whatever he has. He can do it. And it took us a little bit, to decipher this. It took us, that next morning we were just, that's the beauty of being rooted in Christ and having this relationship, because you trust and you know that whatever the outcome, it's okay because God's got it. But it wasn't until what happened, God? Because
We
knew data, our numbers told us that if we had a 60 plus percent voter turnout, that the numbers would be in our favor. And the reality was only 45% of registered voters showed up. So, I knew that those are the facts. And Pritzker spent $35 million collecting 650,000 of the 800,000 mail-in votes that came in. So, those are the facts. And it wasn't a few days later, and I was looking the scripture up and I didn't find it in time. I think it's in Exodus or Leviticus, about the when Moses, was on top of the mountain for 40 days. And can you imagine just the awe of that time? And then towards the end of that, God said, hey, those people down there are revolting. They 40 days, days, they lost focus, lost track. And at the end of the day, I think that we've got this republic. We've been told this, that I've given you a republic if we can keep it. And just like a healthy church, it entails the body, the people, doing what they're called to do. And when we fail to do that, we suffer the consequences. And that's what we're living under, both in the state of Illinois and here in this nation. So I'm not whining. There's no excuses. It is what it is. And God's got something else in store for us. And I'm perfectly good with that. But I do thank all the people who are listening, that prayed, that supported, that voted, that got out there. Just God bless you. And hopefully, and God is using this testimony in to others, whether it's a loss with health, a family, relationship, a job, financial, whatever, that it's okay. Pick yourself up. We live in the greatest country still to this day, still at this moment that the net world has ever known. And we serve a God who can do anything with nothing, and it's all right. And move ahead, keep forging forward, and he'll put you in the place where it is that he ultimately wants you and needs you.
Well, and you're totally right with that. You really have, when you lost, it was like, I don't know, the way that you always put such a good heart for God out there, the way you present things. So originally when I was introducing you, I saw you move and I didn't hear a sound. So I got concerned about if your mic was working and I kind of stopped short of my, you know, I met you a year later in an airport up in Poplar Grove and asked you about, you know, why do you think you could win? And I don't know, just hearing you talk, I just, you know, cause I don't claim to be Republican or Democrat, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, obviously I lean way more on the conservative side. I'm definitely that. But, you know, it's just nowadays, it's like, I feel like so many politicians are just failing us and not even caring and just using the system. But then here comes you. And while I don't like everything Trump does in his, you know, at least in the news media that I see or whatever, I don't like some of the stances or the aggression he takes in certain type of posting and stuff. But I really thought he was an awesome president and I really like him overall, you know, and I love to have him back as a president. And that's hard for people to identify with Trump. You know, I know a lot of our local leaders, politicians, they kind of distance themselves from Trump. And they were doing that with you, you know, and you weren't distancing yourself from Trump. Trump endorsed you. And why is it so hard? You know, because like today we're looking for warrior types, disruptor types, constitutional men and women, you know, the type of politicians we should have. And you're definitely that. Do you see that growing? Do you see that category you're in growing, or how hard is it to be in that category?
Well, that's, you know, the world is in our nation and our state and our communities are void of leadership. And I think that's what you lend with Grace Ops. I think that's what you lend, you know, with the church and your family. We are void of leadership. So when you're void of leadership, you know, people don't know what direction to go. I like you. I call myself a Christian conservative, but the reality is the Republican platform, we've got the answers. I plead with people, go to just Google the Republican platform and look it up. The answers are there. But the reality is that, you know, back with Ben Franklin, when he said, we've given you a republic, if you can keep it. I've been doing a lot of things with the public school or a private schools with Illinois Family Institute recently. And I ran across a quote from President Lincoln in the 1860s. And he said that this is in the 1860s. He said, our future is dependent on what our children are learning in our classrooms today. And it's interesting that 100 years later, the 1960s, there arises this person named Saul Alinsky. And he wrote this really simple read. It's called A Rules for Radicals. And it's a very depressing read. Matter of fact, the book itself, it listed in the book, is dedicated to Lucifer. And but the reality is that he taught at the University of Chicago. And two people studied under him, two people named Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. And when you read this, one of his sayings were, you know, we've got to take the classrooms. If we take the school classroom, there's like 18 rules or something like that. And one of them was taking over education. So the problem is that we are flirting, our nation is, not we, or they are flirting with this socialist Marxist mentality. You know, you take from the rich, you give to the poor. You don't. Why should you have to work so hard? You know, the socialism, everybody's the same. Communism, yeah. It's in common. And we really are where, you know, they've been working with this for, you know, at least 100 years now and probably more. And so when you I think it was Thomas Jefferson. I'll throw out another quote out there. Thomas Jefferson said, when the populace, when the American people figure out that they can vote themselves entitlements, that democracy will fail. And that means you're voting for people who are just going to give you stuff, you know. So that's what the problem is. We are in this day and age when this socialist Marxist movement has gained some serious traction. So we look at it and like, well, gosh, the Democrats are in control and they're just giving out, you know, giving people stuff. It's our tax money. And how are we going to get elected? Well, we need to water down our message. So how dare Trump stand up and say, Darren Bailey, you're not going to give an inch on life. Shame on you. You're not going to get elected. You've got to give. And as a matter of fact, last week, Tony McCombie, the Republican minority leader in the House, was with a group of Democrats speaking, and she admitted, she said, well, nobody in my caucus, nobody in the Republican caucus in the House of Representatives for the state of Illinois, you know, agrees with me on this. They're all staunch pro-life members, every one of them. But she said, not me. She said, I believe that, you know, I would support, you know, a pro-choice candidate. in the suburbs, because that's the only way we're going to win. So, Brian, that's the problem, is this compromise. People look at President Trump and they I mean, look what this man did under the adversity of 4 years.
He
got things done. And he's a business person, much like myself. I despise politics. I fought and kicked. I didn't want to get into it. But then
you actually want to show up and work.
Yes, 4 children and 12 grandchildren. We just got to stop this nonsense. So to your original point, whoever's listening on the other end of this, wherever your work, your church, your family, you're on a school board, if you're on a community board, whatever you are, stand on your principles. I'm telling you, the world, they are hungry for true, genuine leadership. And to your point, I've been blessed to have a couple of brief conversations with President Trump, anywhere from
two minutes. About that. The last 2 or 3 weeks you've been down to Florida twice. Like that's got to feel pretty cool.
It was cool. And I was completely blessed. During the two visits, there was probably at least 5 times when I was able to have a really brief conversation, because you're there. He's in these meetings, high level meetings all day long. Lawyers and people are coming in and out. And I don't know how the man does it. It really is pretty impressive. But where I've been involved with other, there's fundraisers, there's dinners, and there's just a lot going on. And then when he comes to these, it was been pretty awesome, because he'll see me, recognize me, get a shout out. I've been able to kind of communicate with him what my directions are. But here's the deal. The man is genuine. I believe without a doubt, the man loves his wife. President Trump loves his children. President Trump loves his country. And I believe without a doubt that is the sole reason that he is, he'll say that, you know, he's been blessed to be as successful as he is, and that he wants to give back. And when you're having a conversation with him, and you don't see this very often, you can have a true conversation with him many times with some of the people who are running for office that are down there that I've been blessed to meet. You know, you'll be having a conversation, go up to him. Hey, I'm Derek Bailey. Nice to meet you. Good luck. And how's things going? And the whole time you're talking to him, they're looking over your shoulder. Hey, I got to go talk to this person. I'll be right back. And they never come back. I mean, that's just an instant. And even our local politicians, you sense that. You know who's genuine. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something. When you sense that, then I think that's God telling you something, that, hey, maybe you better go find someone else to support, or maybe he's calling you to rise up out of that frustration and run. I believe the salvation of our country is dependent on Christian men and women and standing up, drawing the line, saying, I've had enough, and I'm going to do whatever it takes by the grace of God to fix my school, my library, my community, my state, or my country.
Yeah. So do you think that, I mean, because I hope that it would, but do you think that people like you and, you know, are wired the same kind of thinking and framework of mind like Trump has? Are they on the uprise, or do you see that as a thing that's happening? Or,
well, that's all dependent on the people. I mean, Brian, we work, I'm going to say aside, and I don't mean this arrogantly, I'm going to say aside from President Trump's presidential campaigns, we saw how hard that man worked. I mean, many times being 74, 76 years old. And I look at that, I'm like, that's amazing what he's doing. And I'm going to say aside from that, and I hear this a lot, that across this country, no other campaign put in as much work, hours, or effort as our gubernatorial campaign. So people are hungry. And yes, people respect that, and people get it. And we have a grassroots movement that I believe President Trump or any other organization is going to want to be interested in when they get serious about running, because we have that organization that exists. Wonderful people, partnership that have helped us, you know, along the way, and we're inspired by our work. So yes, the possibility is there. But why did we just go through a consolidated election and only 13-15% of the people show up to vote? Why on November 8th did only 45% of the registered people show up to vote? So the question is the same as what Moses was thinking when he came down, smashed the 10 commandments and just said, what are you doing? So the question is, what are we doing? Are we, I don't know. Are the American people going to step up? Are people in Illinois, are people in your county going to step up and say, you know what, I've had it, I'm in for the fight? And like I said, we had some amazing warriors out there fighting, but we still came up short. So yes, people are hungry for true, genuine leadership. I have tons of people everywhere I go, come pat me on the back. I'm right behind you, you know? And I'm like, and I really tell them, I said, well, I don't need you behind me. I need you beside me. You need,
right.
You need to be marching in unison. So
we all need to be in the arena.
Just a general reminder that, you know, whatever you can do, step up and do it, you know, and let's press forward.
Yeah. 100%. Like, well, I think, you know, my prayer is that God's raising up more men like you, where we can all be in the arena together. I mean, I've had in the recent days, I've had people say, well, you should consider doing something political. And I'm like, yeah, I've never done that before, but whoever knows, man, I might be like, have a story like one of my farmer friends.
Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you, from the day that I was asked to serve as a deacon in 1992, I said, nope, I got too much going on. My wife caught wind of it and said, Darren, what are you doing? Get your butt back there. And you need to be doing this. 1994, I got a phone call one evening and said, hey, we've got a vacancy on our school board meeting, and the board's wants me to call and ask if you'd fill that vacancy. And no, I'm sorry. Thank you for thanking me, though. And, you know, Cindy says, who's that that called? I don't know. These goofballs want me to run for school board. You want me to fill a vacancy. And you're what? So I'm blessed to have such an amazing wife. And in 2017, I find out that my state representative voted for a 32% tax increase. And of course, I'm not involved in government whatsoever. 14 years earlier in 2002 or three, Cindy and I helped him get elected. And then that's what we do. We pat these people on the back. Hey, go get them. We send them to Springfield or Washington, and then we go back to doing what we're doing. But I got noisy on Facebook. Literally, you can trail my personal page back to that day. You'll see I had 500 friends, and I was just watching, using Facebook to my children. And 2 weeks later, I had 5,000 friends, you know, because because of the movement here, and so people didn't know. And kind of all of a sudden they started realizing, oh my gosh, I didn't know this was taking place. And that day came that people started saying, hey, Darren, why don't you run? I'm like, absolutely not.
I'll
run for government.
I'm attracted to run.
It's corrupt. It's those guys. So, but anyway, God, my wife was there to kind of spur me along. And we pressed in, turned it over to God, prayed and fasted. And just like, I call it the Jonah syndrome. I went every which way, but, you know, and I kicked the whole way, and I finally realized, this is where he wants us at. So, you get that urge, press in, pray fast. And if you feel like God's calling you, go for it. So,
well, that's the thing. I'm like, you know, my whole stance has been no way, you know, that'd have to be God. So, you know, even when I throw the idea around my wife, she's not excited about it. So I don't know.
That's huge. That's huge. Your spouse, that, and that's another problem. And many elected officials, that is the story. And if the spouse isn't in, it's going to make your life miserable. Number one, now God can change hearts. But number two, you know, I prayed about 5 years before I actually ran for office. I actually had two good friends come to my farm one day, 5 years, be 2012. And they came, and one of them was an elected official, and they sat down, and then we had kind of some small conversation. I said, well, so what brings you guys here today? You know, and well, Darren, we're wanting to ask you if you'd consider running for office against, you know, this guy. And we had already been talking for about 45 minutes, and I just stood up and I said, guys, here's the deal. I said, you're always invited here, but don't you ever come back here and insult me. Politics. And they just kind of sat there. And I said, with that, I do have to go. I'm done. This conversation's over with. I love you. Like I said, you're always invited, I got to get back to work. And that was 5 years prior. And then, like I said, so here's the deal. You know, sometimes God calls us, and that's so I did. After that, I'm like, okay, you know, God, remove this guy and have that's people true. Call me up and put me in that place. And now sometimes we've got to step in, you know. Just can you imagine what Abraham thought whenever he got this you know, word that he needs to you know, uproot everything and move, you know, and just many other of our patriarchs that did amazing things on you know, a word from God, and when there were much simpler solutions. But they had to step out in faith. And I want to challenge anyone listening, but whatever that looks like, if you're asked to serve in leadership at your church in 2 years, to have That's elections good. In for yeah. school boards and library boards. Later this fall, you've got the opportunity to get petitions and run for precinct committee person, one of the most important bedrock foundationals. That's how we take the Republican Party back. We run for precinct committee person. We start showing up at our county board meetings. And 9 times out of 10, not always, but 9 times out of 10, we see that the chair of the party, you know, they've been there forever and they like to be there because they have the badge yeah. of being the poobah. And that's our problem. We've got to root them out of the way and start putting them in.
Well, and then the more I've gotten to know you and the more the more I'm starting to pay attention to things like the Constitution and politicians and all that stuff, because COVID kind of awakened that in me.
Yep.
But, and I always was a Patriot guy, but, you know, up until COVID, it never really bumped into me too hard.
Yeah,
but,
I agree.
But, you know, like you get one good politician and there's like layers of like corruption of corrupt people around them, you know, and it's like,
right.
how do you crack this thing? But, you know, just recently I was on your podcast, the Darren Bailey Show, and you can find that on YouTube. And I would encourage you to, if you're listening, or, you know, go check out Darren's podcast. His is always videos, which is cool. I'm going to try to be cool like that one day. We'll get there.
That's just because I can't figure out.
When I grow up, I want to be like Darren. So, you know, even though we're on video here, but not all my podcasts are video. But yeah, it's really cool. It was an honor to be a guest with you there. And you really bring some good, you know, maybe tell everybody a little bit about your podcast and what you your angle of what you're trying to accomplish there.
Just education, information, and most importantly, empowerment. And it's interesting because this whole video platform with me, it took off. My birthday is on March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. So you may remember nice. when I served as a state representative and served from 2019 and 2020, served the same 2 years there as J.B. Pritzker. And my full intention was to, you know, term limit myself for 10 years and go back to the farm. Well, into that journey, my senator stepped down. And I was actively looking for someone to take his place, you know, a true conservative. When people said, hey, serve us as our senator, because we love what you're doing and you're representing, you're working hard. So I did and thought I'd term limit myself to 10 years as a senator and go on my way. And then this journey opened up when COVID happened and everything else went nuts. Well, in March 2017, that was the primary when I was running for Senate. And that is the day a lot of people will remember when all the shutdowns and lockdowns took place. We actually had a big, we're going to have a big watch party that night. And we canceled it just because, you know, hey, don't know what's going on here. Let's kind of cool our jets and back off a little bit. 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Well, I saw what happened for 2 weeks, you know. And so then it was my wife's idea again. She says, Darren, the month of April, you know, we're farmers. April showers bring May flowers. The month of April, she said, I think you need to do. Because I had been doing, frequent morning devotions, getting on and kind of my daily Bailey, people call them, and just informing people about what's going on in Springfield and empowering them and then sharing a devotion and praying with them. So she suggested that every day at 8 o'clock in the morning from April that I get on and do a word of encouragement. You know, there was nothing going on in government, just encourage, devotion and pray. So I reluctantly, I don't think I agreed to do that until the morning of April 1st. But I did that the entire month of every day. And I'm going to tell you what, it just, again, that was another round of explosion for recognition. So we did that. And I still to this day, people are, thank you so much, you know, for doing that. So that's where it started. And then, you know, after this, after running for governor, you know, I'm not a senator anymore. I had to choose because of the remapping, the redistricting, and people. There just seems to be there. You know, we've got a following. We're just blessed.
Yeah,
because
that's awesome. Yeah.
So, you know, basically, it's what do you want next, God? What are we doing? So as we continue to figure out where our path is next in government, we do believe I'm not going back to the farm. I am staying entrenched. This is our mission field. But again, it was Cindy's idea with all these podcasts that I have used sometimes to guess. Why don't you do something like this, Darren, and get the platform out there? So that's
you know what's cool about as I've gotten to know you and just, you know, we've spent a lot of hours talking and just conversing. But it's so cool. You're bringing some of it up here, how spirit led this whole thing has been, you know, like, yeah, you do have a following. You are building out a platform, but you haven't followed like. you know, how to build a platform or how to market yourself. You know, you haven't followed these gimmicky things. It's been really cool because most of it's like Cindy. It's almost like the Holy Spirit uses Cindy.
He does drop
an idea on you. And actually, as I've been spending more time with you, I've been asking my wife, like, give me one good idea right now of what I should do to help Grace Ops. You know, like, I'm just testing it out. I'm like, you know, because my wife's she's awesome. She's powerful. And she's a force to be reckoned with. But
I appreciate hearing that, because my problem is I don't always recognize it. Cindy's telling me stuff all the time, like, I'm not going to do that. Hours later, the Holy Spirit's hit me upside the head with a brick. I'm like, yeah, okay, all right.
I just think it's cool about your story. It's like, you know, like you're not following some typical road. And God has blessed you, and He's going to continue to bless you. And it's just, you know, you're just taking simple steps led by the Holy Spirit. And you know, that's really the essence of the Christian life. You know, we're supposed to be devoted to God and following His Spirit. And it's just cool because these ideas actually manifested a lot of, they brought forth a lot of fruit, you know.
Yeah.
And it's really cool that to.
In politics and in government, of all things, imagine that.
So, oh, I know.
Yeah. And you know, with that, and you're the Grove is fully awake. Thank goodness you're not fully woke. You're fully awake. And that's one of our goals, is to wake the church up. And I'm telling you, the church across Illinois and across this nation is asleep. And there are woke churches out there. And I truly believe that, you know, God's given us something that He has expectations for. And it is, you know, it was the church that, you know, was gravely responsible for this constitutional republic. But we've been lulled into complacency. And until the church.
Yeah, you know.
That are we going to take this back?
During COVID, when I would bring up things like the Constitution, I actually had people leave my church. You know, people, it helped weed out some people that they're either more liberal and agreed with that side or that thinking, or they were just not willing to be bold and to say things like that, you know. And I'm like, I would tell people, so the Constitution was a document that you think like these people. Fighting for their life, fighting for their freedom. They write this document and they would kiss it. I mean, I would be like, dude, we did this, you know, this is accomplished. Yeah. And it would be like a sacred document. And nowadays we're just like throwing it in the trash can. We don't even know what it says. You know, I don't know, like you said before, like they're taking our classrooms. I wanted to bring something up because it goes along with this. I'm a police chaplain and I did a ceremony yesterday with them, swearing in a few more officers, and a couple of the officers got promoted, which was really awesome. It's cool to know these guys. And I wrote like a new little speech, which was three sentences. I get about 2 minutes to do a benediction, you know, so I say a couple of things, I pray, and you know, the Lord I was thinking about it on my drive to the location, and the Lord was like, it just flowed. It was like, I told my followers that they'd be like sheep among wolves. And I also prayed for my followers that God wouldn't remove them from this evil, from the wolf, but He would protect them in the midst of the wolf.
Wow.
And so I said that to the law enforcement. And I said, and you're part of that protection, you know, you're part of that protection from God, you know, whether you see it that way or not, that's the way God's designed it. And so, and I also said some things like, you know, when we create Gotham City, the wolves come out, and that's kind of what we have. Mm-hmm. We have a Gotham City type circus at the helm of this thing. And, you know, and I wanted to understand, and I talked about the Constitution a little bit, you know, all in just 2 or 3 minutes. And then I prayed for them. But, you know, as I talked to the officers afterwards and just kind of, we're just chatting, I didn't really have an agenda. This mindset came up a lot, you know. Well, the pendulum always swings back. Like right now, it's not in our favor. The pendulum's way over there, but it always comes back, you know. And I've got people in my neighborhood that think that way. And then when they start talking and they're calm, I'm like, well, maybe I'm just paranoid. Maybe I'm weird, you know, because I'm like, because I said, well, hey, I'm like an alarm that's going off. I'm sounding an alarm. And you hear it, you know, even when I'm doing a 2-minute benediction, there's an alarm going off in me. Yeah. You know, it's like, wake up, you know, like, and you know, what do you do when you hear an alarm? You either don't want to hear it anymore, or you do something about shutting it off and figure out what it's trying to tell you. But I don't know, this pendulum thing, you know, because I had some conversation, and I don't disrespect anybody that thinks that way. I tell them, I hope you're right. I said, but at some point in time, that cycle could break. And I go, as weak as our schools are, that's what I wanted to bring up to you. Is like, you know, because that's the mindset. Like, well, the pendulum's going to swing back the other way. It's like, brother, everything's going to be fine. And but I was like, I don't know. What do you think about that? The pendulum, and you know, because I put on the table with them, I was like, but look at our schools. I'm like, they're literally just demonically destroying the minds of the next generation. And you know, why one of the officers was like, well, there's no way they could enforce taking our guns from us. He's like, there's no entity out there that could enforce that. And I'm like, okay, well, that's good to hear, because I, you know, more about that than I do. I said, but what 10 more years from now? What about 15 more years from now? Or what about when the next generation is so dependent on the government that, or what about if they remove the cash from our society and they can control us? Anyway, I know I'm throwing a lot out there, but what do you think about this pendulum thing? And what do you, how the heck?
Because if you're saying that the pendulum, it's going to be okay. It'll come back. What are most people doing? You're waiting. If you're waiting on that pendulum to come back, you're waiting. And you know, that's the message that I hear from a lot of churches, you know, Jesus is coming back anytime and we know the end of the story. And yes, we do. But sometimes we mistake that for waiting. Everything's good. I'm a Christian. Thank goodness. So I'm just going to kind of lay low and not get myself in too much trouble or anything that's going to. So we wait. And Jesus didn't tell us to stand and wait. He said, you are my hands. You are my feet. You are my voice. You have work to do while you are here. And I really, truly believe that that conversation entices us to wait. And when we wait, what are we doing? We're just kind of standing around, you know, waiting for something. We can't do that. We live with expectancy. We work with expectancy. We are Americans with expectancy. We got work to do.
And you know,
I truly believe that's caused that.
The bottom line is this. There are demonic pressures coming against this culture. I mean, it's hitting the church. You know, it's hitting. I say this all the time. It's coming to all of our front doors.
Yeah,
you're not going to be able to turn away from this. I mean, the evil that's hitting our culture is in. And when I look at the schools, right? Because I was talking, you know, some of the follow up talks, and dude, I still live in a county that's still, I think, pretty good. It's a pretty good. Right. I mean, the police is good. There's not a high crime. We've got a mayor down in Belvedere that believes in law and order. You know. I take a pulse on all this stuff, and I know that in our court system in Boone County, it's starting to tip a little more liberal, starting to tip a little bit. So once that tips more and more that way, if it does, hopefully it doesn't, but if it does tip more that way, it'll be harder for law enforcement, you know, and then all the guys, you know, I just feel like people are that whole pendulum mindset is so dangerous to me because like,
it is.
And, you know, and the guy I was talking to, totally respect him. Great. He's a friend of mine. And he, you know, we were agreeing and disagreeing with each other and had a great conversation, but he, you know, and he brought up really good talk points, but to me, it's just like the school thing. The school thing is so dark. I mean, it is so demonic what's happening in our schools. And what really opened my eyes was, this last school board election. You know, we were trying to help some, get some, the right people in. And I don't think that we didn't do that. It all failed. But even the problem was, even if the right person gets in, they may not be able to change anything.
Right.
So what do we do? I mean, I think, I don't know. It's hard because we say it all the time, but no, we don't see it at all. It feels like, but we, the people, can solve this problem.
Right. I think a lot of times people are afraid to be wrong. I think that's, that's one reason that this platform that I am on has been elevated, because I'm not afraid to be wrong. Send me back to the farm. It's okay. I'm going to say it. When I ran against the state rep, who was a friend of mine, can I call him out? We had this whole discussion. This went on months before I decided to run or wanted to run. And I said, what are you doing? Oh, Darren, we haven't had a budget. And don't you know that people want a budget? And I'm like, well, no, they don't want 32% tax increase. I do know that. And anyway, he went ahead and cast his vote like it was. So, I mean, I was there to warn him and push back. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, I don't know. Do people really want this? I could be wrong. What's going to happen if I, you know, what happens when you sue J.B. Pritzker over COVID? What happens the next day if the newspapers say millions of people died last night? Because that's what people were telling us, you know?
Yeah, which was absolutely insane. That was insane. I mean,
but you see, that's this platform that God has blessed us with. it's only elevated because I'll speak what I believe to be the truth. And right. and many people. So if you're on, if you're that lone school board member, start writing letters to the editors, start talking to your friends, start telling guys, do you know that this is what's going on in our schools? Do you know, start elevating and don't be, because you're, yes, you're going to get people, you're going to go to that next board meeting and you're going to have them look at you. They may even vote to censure you, but you're going to have scoffers look at you and say, how dare you speak out against blah, blah, blah. But what did you do? Okay, I want to read it. I love this verse out of 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. We've been in the last days ever since Jesus, you know, ascended back to heaven. We know that. But, you know, the subtitle of this is The Dangers of the Last Day. Paul's writing to Timothy. You should know this, Timothy, to 2 Timothy 3. And when I read this and so often come across this in Scripture, I mean, I take myself back 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I can take myself back and I can think, gosh, has it gotten worse? And I think the answer is a resounding yes. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times. Well, you know, we know, you know, most of the apostles were killed. Jesus was crucified. Things were pretty rough under the Roman. You know, we know that. And they've been, the church has been persecuted. We know there's been rough days. For people will love only themselves and their money. But then we fast forward to this day we're living in, and we just ask ourselves, I don't think it was this bad 10 years ago, 20 years ago. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. Think about life in the womb. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends. They will be reckless. They will be puffed up with pride and love pleasure rather than God, almost a historical low of Christians in America today. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. And here's the key point in verse 5. Stay away from people like that. I don't know. I read that and I'm like, oh, okay, this thing's been in print for 2,000 years and I don't know. It's always been bad. No, we're there, and we got work to do.
Well, you know, a few more little things trickle in my head when you read that passage, because you know you think of Romans 1, where God gives people over to the desires of their you know their flesh, and you know part of that's kind of a form of judgment. And as much as I don't want to say this necessarily, but we kind of deserve the leaders we get.
God gives us what we, if we're not doing anything, we get to what we reap. So if you don't sow the seed, you're not going to have a harvest. If you don't sow the seed, you get what you got, which is nothing, and it's worse than the harvest you would have had. So that's exactly right.
Yeah. So, but at the same time, you know, I'll be supporting Trump in the next election, and you know, it just is what it is, and I want to pray for him, pray for you. It's been great having you on as a guest today. Did we cover everything good? You got anything else?
We could talk for 3 hours if we wanted to. There's always more to talk about. But I think at the end of the day, men, and I love what you're doing with Grace Ops, because men need to step up. Men, get in your schools. Your kids in public schools. Maybe they're even in a private Christian school. Get in the school. Call the they'll do a background check on you and say, hey, I want to set my kids' classroom. There's a group out there, a national group called Watchdogs, Dads of Great Students. And you go to your school however often you want to, and you can spend the day there. Like I said, they'll do a background check and they'll move you from classroom to classroom. And
that's cool. And
I'm going to tell you what, when I did that in the past, our public school, you're getting loved on the whole time, because these kids, kindergartens, they usually keep you in elementary and in the lower grades. These kids are so needy for love, and you're just out there and encouraging them on the playground, helping them read stories, helping them do your homework. Men, get involved somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. That's awesome. So I'd like to pray for you, man.
All right.
Well, Father, I thank you for Darren, and thank you for Cindy, and we just lift them up to you. Thank you for this spirit-led testimony and story that you're building and designing in very critical days of the earth.
Yes.
And Father, these days are, everything hangs in the balance right now. Yes. And I can sense it and feel it deep, deep within. And Lord, we just pray for your will to be done. We pray for awakening in the hearts of people, maybe from waiting for the pendulum to swing to more of a awakening the heart to your will, your way. Open our eyes to our sin. Open our eyes to our dullness.
Yes.
And Lord, we ask that you would cause repentance to stir among the land of the United States of America, Father, that judgment would start in the house of God and that it would spill into the hearts of people. Father, you're so amazing and awesome, and everything that you want for us is so, it really is just simple and right and holy and beautiful. And we struggle with it sometimes, our flesh, our shame, our guilt, we struggle with it. So we just ask, Lord, that you would move across this land in a way that would be like the great awakenings of old, Father, that you would really do something powerful in this land. And Lord, we trust you, you're sovereign, and we know you've got the end times all mapped out. We don't have to figure all that out. But Lord, while we're heading in that direction, whatever your timeline is, we pray for favor on Darren and Cindy, and we pray for more, and I use this word in a good way, but disruptors to emerge and to have a voice of uprightness and to take stances all across the land, Lord. So I'm asking you, Father, to raise up 50 more Darrens, Lord, 100 more across this land that would take their stand at the gates, and they would be in conversation with their enemies, Lord, your enemies. We love them, but Lord, you called us to be men who speak to them and don't back down from them. So we pray, Father, for boldness to come across this land, and we pray for your will to be done, even if it's not what we desire. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you. You're sitting there praying, and I'm thinking about the Old Testament story about Ahab and when he's got all of his people, you know, telling them that with the iron horns, that, yes, you're going to win and you're going to conquer. And King Jehoshaphat, he's kind of like, but isn't there a man of God out there? But like Ahab says, there's this guy, but he always prophesies trouble over me. And we don't, Jehoshaphat said, get him, you know. And so, yes. A disruptor, one person can make a difference. So God bless you.
Well, you know, I had this idea because I've been thinking about it for a while because I heard you say it. Because after I was on your podcast, I went back and listened to all your episodes and really liked them. And it was fun, man. I was like, I just want to get in tune with your podcast. I had it playing while I was working and stuff. But the Darren Bailey Disruption. Disruption.
We have an official title. So.
Yeah, like your intro could be like, I'm here to disrupt your day, I'm here to disrupt you with this.
You know what I mean? Like, sledgehammer breaking things. I like it.
It could be a good, yeah. You know, we'll have to see if Cindy approves of it.
she'd love that.
The Darren Bailey Disruption or Darren the Disruptor. You got to play with it. And then you can maybe have like all these like cartoon caricature type figures and you know how those politicians awesome. Things those things are
let's,
hilarious
let's work
you know?
On that
but, yeah. That could be really funny, you know, so yep. really just a good angle, you know. So well, hey man, it was awesome having you here today. We look forward to having you back and serving you in whatever capacity that we can.
Thank you for what you're doing. God bless.
All right guys, thanks for tuning in today. Until next time, live upright.